You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Barbershop, Camp Fallujah, the Turkish Barbers, man, they were big Kylie Minogue fans. And they also introduced me to The Flame. Mike and I have discussed The Flame before, but yeah, you went down to Barber.
Flame is awesome. Scares the shit out of you the first time. But once you get through that initial fear factor, man, it's the greatest thing in the world. You try and look for barbers. And I've actually asked barbers back in the States. And they give me that puzzled look, like,
what?
Excuse me? Flame? Near your head? Never mind.
Let me tell you, and Mike's right, the funniest part of it is the first time. Because, you know, there's all these other Marines, and the guy just looks and says, do you want the flame? Right? And we're, part of our problem is we're a macho culture. So what's the answer?
Yeah, of course. The guy before we get flame? Yeah. Well, then, shit, why ask me? Just give me flame.
In fact...
And then you see him soak that tap ball in alcohol and then light on fire and it comes through your head. And he's tapping your head with it. And, you know, he's, like, spraying that fire off that cotton ball onto the side of your head. And your first initial fear is to run. You know, get up and like, what the... But no, man. You get done with that and you're like, holy smokes.
That was good.
I'm addicted to flame.
But, you know, to me, the thing I always think is the funniest about the flame is we are such assholes about being pussies. Yeah, it's like everybody else in the barbershop, do you want the flame? Yeah, I want the flame. Like, no, absolutely no idea what it is the first time. No.
Yeah. Dude, I'm kidding you. I'm not bullshitting it, man. I was addicted to the flame.
Hey, the flame's good stuff, right?
I love that feeling when there's, like, I mean, now, granted, the smell of burnt hair is the down part, the downside of it, but, man, it was just afterwards, that feeling of, man, it's like nothing else gets closer than the flame.
Hold on, let me read your email. Mac, are you shitting me? The flame?
Yeah.
What the hell? What was the purpose of it? Mike, explain the purpose, the functional purpose behind the flame.
The functional purpose was to remove all facial hair from ever existing on your head. I mean, it singed, I mean, basically your skin is on fire. I mean, but it's a controlled flame.
It's a controlled burn. Nice. All right. I was watching something there's a guy who does a new show. It's a little bit of a take back to Mail Call. It's not as bombastic as Mail Call, but he does guns. I'll find the name of it. But anyway, it's on the Smithsonian Channel and it's about guns and weapons.
Yeah.
I'll find it. The weapons hunter on the Smithsonian Channel. Who is this dude? I think he's a former Marine.
Oh, God.
What's this? Buy this show. More about the Smithsonian. Explore the web episodes. Who is this dude, man? The Weapons Hunter. World War II. Engineering weapons. Full schedule. Yeah, he's a Marine. We should probably know this guy.
What's his name?
I'm looking for it. Dude, you should probably have the... His name. First name is Paul... Paul Scholl, Schull? Know him?
No. Nope. Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's always wearing Marine Corps stuff. He's wearing a Marine Corps t-shirt here. Anyway, I was watching one of the shows, and it was about the scenes relative to Omaha Beach in Saving Private Ryan, which they said arguably was one of the most realistic movies or depictions of things. And what it had to do with was being shot while you were in the water. And I have to tell you, I was blown away by how fast. And so what they did was they took a rifle. I want to say it was a German Mauser. They mounted it outside of a water tank. They put one of those bodies that are engineered like the human bodies have the same kind of ballistic.
Yeah, like a gel.
Right. They have the same ballistic properties as a human body. So they put that in a uniform in this tank. They put the rifle outside of it. There's this thin membrane that's holding water in. The bodies stand up, and they shoot around, and then they're obviously filming it. I was blown away by how fast the round stops.
What do you mean?
Well,
how fast it slowed down in water?
Yeah. I thought,
water's a solid.
I know, but I didn't know. Well, again, not knowing. I've seen James Bond where he's swimming like on the bottom of the ocean and somebody's shooting at him and rounds are going past him. So, I mean, I just found
Depending on the round, there are rounds that will penetrate, a foot, 2 foot of water. But then, I mean, it's a solid, so it's going to slow down. I mean, if everybody's experienced, you're like, oh man, water stopped. Look at me. I can this and that. But when you fall off water skis or of inner tube off the back of the boat flying, and then you hit, and then that bewilderment of, holy shit, this hurts. How'd that happen? this is a liquid. It's not supposed to hurt so bad. No, water's a solid, even though, yes, it's classified as a liquid like that, but it's going to hurt you. So it's a bullet. I mean, it's going to be traveling very, very very, very fast with a lot of velocity. It's going to strike that, and then it's going to slow down rapidly.
I was stunned that it in fact slows down that quick. So they said the scene where you see guys getting mowed down in the water by rounds that are going through the water may have happened in very few cases because the rounds simply can't travel. And what they said is, look, there's overpressure created behind the round that sucks the round back. The round also, as it hits that solid, begins to tumble, which decreases it. And within, as you said, within a foot or two, nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be nothing.
Yeah, I was surprised. Now tell everybody what you're doing.
Wow.
Because I watched James Bond, man.
I know.
Right, it's like I never seen any kind of ballistic test done in water. I found it really interesting, and I found it really interesting.
Right.
So anyway, I thought of you. What about tell everybody what you're doing right now?
I have no idea anymore. No, I'm actually taking apart the carburetor to see if this is the problem of this Briggs & Stratton. High pressure water hose, whatever it's called.
Briggs and Stratton, they make good stuff, yes?
Yeah, that's why I'm really kind of shocked that this thing is not, I'm getting, so I'll spray the carburetor, I'll inject it directly with, a fuel, and
right.
Then it kicks, turns over.
Right.
But doesn't stay running, so I thought, okay, then that's probably a sign of the gas.
Right.
The gas not getting into the float on the carburetor. And,
right.
But I'm looking at it, and I don't see anything clogged up. And, the smell of gas brings me back to my childhood, rolling down the windows when mom and dad are at the gas station. And you just kind of take that whiff where you get the little bit of gas in your hands and you smell it.
I used to love that smell. And that,
When
I was a kid, they, you had full service. Full service gas stations. Would you like my mom fill it up with ethyl? What does that mean? I don't even know what that meant. And the guy, they checked your oil, did the windows, full service gas station, man. awesome. My mom, big fan. My mom did not really like the whole movement to self-serve. Was not a fan.
No?
No, no, no. She's like, what? Like, what is it we're coming to when there's not, there's nobody to help you at a gas station? She said, I don't think that's a good thing. I said, me neither, Mom. Ladies like you shouldn't be messing around with gasoline. She said, I know. She said, you get some of that stuff on your skin. She said, you know, she said, women aren't men. And I don't like this. Now, Mike, I think this is just a recommendation. You might want to consider a small engine specialist. There's got to be a bunch of them around there, right?
I am one.
You don't sound like one, right? You don't sound like one. And what kind of engine are you working on? Briggs & Stratton, what is it power?
Let's see, it's an 8.5 horse. It's a pretty big engine.
Ooh, 8.5 horse what? What is it attached to?
A high pressure washer. Ooh. My favorite toy in the world. That's why I'm kind of upset that it's not working. Because, you know, like we were talking, every boy growing up loved to play with water. And then when you get of age and you can buy your own 3,000 PSI pressure washer, man, it's like nothing better than sitting on a nice warm day, pressure washing everything in sight. Even if it doesn't need pressure washing, you just want to play with it.
That's a fact. You know what? And to be honest with you, to the point of damaging your home, okay, all that caulking around windows.
Oh, I don't do that.
Oh, you're not that, you're not that guy?
No, I won't spray it in. I know where, because I've seen a pressure washer. Actually, I had a Marine buddy, you know, the ones that we use for decontaminating, they're the same thing. They're
right.
Huge, high pressure.
Right.
He sticks his fingers under that blade of water that comes out of there, you know, at 3,000 PSI.
Right.
And it just chewed him up. I mean, he's bleeding all over the place. Then he's like, oh, didn't know water cut. I'm like, dude. It's coming out at Mach, oh my God.
At Mach 90?
And you stick.
I did that.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous.
I stuck my foot with my flip flop on.
Oh. to get the sand off? Yeah.
No. I said, how hard? I said, my buddy, Kevin McGarry, we were roommates in college. He's an assistant football coach at San Diego State. He's pressure washing his backyard. I'm out in the backyard. I'm like, how fast is that? He goes, it's pretty fast. He said, I don't know. I said, so I stuck my foot with my flip flop on, and thankfully it misses my foot, and it blows a hole right in the shape of the water spray, right through my leather flip flop. I was like, whoa. How about that? Yeah, so I was that guy. I'm a good time. I always think it's funny.
I'm the guy that I know what the devastation is, and I don't do it.
Well, you're a ballistics guy, man. You're that guy. You're like, oh, you know, it's 800 PSI, blah, 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 blah. Geez. Wow, a lot of fun. Bring Musselman again. Mr. No Fun, right? Explaining to us the ballistic properties of the high pressure washer, and all we want to do is have a good time with it. Okay, what?
I guess you're right.
Hey,
Mr. Killjoy.
Okay, what are you washing? Are you washing concrete? Because it's awesome on concrete.
No, I can't get it to start. That's why I'm tearing apart the carburetor.
I know. So when you do get it to start, what are you gonna wash?
I don't know. I'll figure out. I'll do something. Probably this badly.
Hold on, here's an email. Hey, Mac, I did more damage to my house in one day. My wife was so pissed. I knocked paint off the house. I knocked caulking off the house. I was having the best time. I thought I was just cleaning. I didn't realize the damage I was doing. And to be honest with you, I think it has to do with something about being a guy and a Marine. Yeah, could I have put on the low pressure nozzle? Of course I could have. But am I a pussy?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a pussy. So what did I do?
I
upgunned that bitch and turned it on high. After about 45 minutes, I realized that there was a measure of discretion that I did not have that probably should have been used while utilizing this device. Needless to say, I agree with the gunner. It's a good time. Another email. What is the stopping power of the pressure washer?
Is that our friend in Montana? No. Been trying to piss me off.
No, this is Bill in Ohio. Yeah. Former Hawk missileman. Yeah. If it flies, it dies.
Is that what their motto was?
That's what their motto is, man. Come on. Hawk missiles. When was the last time, Mike?
They don't exist anymore.
When was the last time we got attacked from the sky?
World War II. Oh, no, Korea.
Korea? Did it happen in Korea?
It probably did. I mean, I'm not going to discount it. It probably did.
I've never heard of, like, Marines saying, yeah, we went into air defense mode when those Korean MiGs came rolling in on us. I've never heard that, but I agree with you. I just may not have heard about it. But do you have any idea what the stopping power? I'll tell you what, it'll stop a flip-flop dead cold.
It'll stop a bug on the concrete.
It'll stop a lot of dirt on the concrete. I'll tell you what else it'll stop. It will certainly stop a small barnyard animal. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a dangerous weapon, man, I'm telling you. And it will certainly stop caulking. If you want to jack up your windows on your house, yeah, just look and say, yeah, you know what, I'm not really going to clean those windows. It's so much work. Let me just pressure wash them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Hey.
Get that nozzle right up on the glass.
Why are all my windows leaking? What the hell happened?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... In this one, you got to treat it like a gun. Don't point it at anything. You're not warning.
See, that's the part that kills. That's why you don't invite musclemen. All right? When we're going to play with fire...
I don't like that stuff, man.
Or we're going to play with the pressure washer. Neither do I.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The gunner is the guy that's the killjoy that doesn't like to go drinking on the range.
No.
Yeah.
That's something different.
Yeah. Gunner is the guy that doesn't like to go, hey, let's take a boat out in the ocean with half a gauge gas, get a tank of gas and see how this works out. You know, I'm the guy of, hey, how about bringing some extra gas cans? You know, I'm thinking of all the contingencies.
How long does it take to get a six of gas? That's my question. If it takes a long time, I'm not for that. We'll just squat a little ways, and then we'll come back. Right?
Okay, the carburetor. I just put the carburetor back together.
Yes.
And just put it back on. Good thing I got, like, a photographic memory when it comes to this kind of stuff. I do, man.
Don't shut up. Stop it. Stop it, all right? Stop it. Mac.
Came in handy being a gunner.
I love you, Mac. You don't have to work for it. Listening to you and Mike be happy idiots together gives me joy. Idiots? Like, what are you talking about? Happy.
Remember, that's a term of endearment. I like, that's a, don't think that you're, it's still a compliment.
It is?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because they say it in jest.
Oh, they do? All right.
Yeah.
If you tell me, no, but you know, I don't, but come on, there's a certain amount of fun because you don't, Mike, look, we're not really having a good time until what happens?
Somebody gets hurt.
Thank you. I didn't even have to tee it up for you. Okay, so
how
does somebody get hurt and how do we have fun if we constantly do the right and responsible thing?
Well, okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
No. And again, I'm not a. I'm not an ultra safety kind of guy, but
thank you. Thank you.
Kind
of. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth right now because he enjoys doing stupid stuff like the rest of us. Now he limits that. He certainly doesn't do it with firearms. I can tell you that.
No, I do it with explosives. I've done it with. Lots of TNT and C4.
Hey, let me ask you this.
People say,
how much fun can you have with TNT and C4?
Oh, my. my goodness, man. You leave me out in the field for a weekend with, you know, all three elements, the charge, the line, and then the precursor. And, man, I am going to have so much fun. Jeez, man. And I look back, yes, has Gunner done stupid stuff with explosives? Absolutely. But did I put anybody in danger?
No.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
But sometimes. Because when I ran range 5 at the basic school, and I'd run it at IOC, we had these demo beds, right? And yeah. you're supposed to blow the demo beds when the lieutenants, like, go through them, right, to simulate incoming, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah. But we wouldn't do that. We would wait till our friends got next to them, right? And so they're what's called AIing. They're assistant instructors.
They're standing up. Yeah.
They're standing up. And so for instance, I'd be up in the tower making sure the targets are functioning, the demo beds go. So you got an engineer standing there, and I'm watching. And so the squad's doing fire movement down the golf course. Mike's, you know, coaching him and yelling at him. Now, Mike's not really paying attention because he's, you know, he's a safety guy. But I'm watching Mike, right? And when Mike gets close to that demo bed, that thing is going. And if it's a good day, it's early in the morning and it's full of water. And
yeah, there's nothing like scaring the hell out of somebody.
And then everybody laughs, right? All the other guys that are out there that except, are AI-ing, except one person. But then by the time... By the time he comes back and he walks up and the rest of us are all standing there, even he's laughing,
right?
Oh, yeah,
right? And it's funny. Yeah. Well, he's laughing out of peer pressure. He doesn't want to be...
That guy.
You know, that guy, yeah.
But honestly, and you know, in the Marine Corps, normally what we're using are quarter sticks of TNT. How fun are quarter sticks of TNT?
The little one.
The little ones. The baby tea.
Yeah, that's no fun. Full satchel charge, 16 blocks of C4, 1¼ pound. Dude, there's nothing better than that. A full satchel too. I mean, so you put all the deck cord and your boosters into each block, and then you got basically a 20-pound bomb of C4. That is a blast.
Mike, after it goes off, what does everybody do? Everybody kind of looks around and goes, holy shit.
Yeah. Pete, there is an equation for, you know, how much demo to use. And everybody said it's P and in the formula, but we already said P equals plenty. I mean, you know, and coming back and thinking about it, man, a quarter of a stick of C4, you know, used to, like, blow breach a door or something, is more than enough. And I put four on a door, one over the door, the latch, one over each hinge, and one is the kicker in the, you know. And when it went off, the door was completely gone, but there was, like, a 6-foot hole on each side of the door. You could drive a damn Humvee through it. You know, and someone gave me a heart, like, Gunner, you didn't have to blow a damn hole in the wall. I said, well, we breached, didn't we? I mean, breach is a breach. You didn't tell me how big you wanted it. You know, and they don't want to carry this shit everywhere.
So I'm being a team guy.
Yeah.
I'm being a team guy. Yeah. And so, yeah. But I'll tell you what. It's a good time, though. It's just like, you know, I'll tell you what, when you're a kid, right, playing with fireworks, M80s and all that kind of stuff, how much is...
I wasn't that bad with those either.
You weren't?
I mean, I used to hold the bottle rockets.
Right.
We used to run around chasing each other, have bottle rocket wars,
right,
and shoot bottle rockets at each other.
Right.
Or Roman candles.
Yes.
But I don't think, I guess I was the person that would, like, throw a whole stick or a whole belt of black cats, you know, firecrackers at somebody when they're not prepared, right at their feet.
Yeah. The guy told you that was scared. The guy told you that was pressure washing. I was taking a shower in college, and all, like through the steam, I see this thing glowing, flying through the air. Threw a whole package of firecrackers into the shower. And so I'm like, I have my head, and I think I'm, you know, he peeked in and waited till my head got underneath the shower to wash my hair. And then he lobbed these firecrackers in there, which was pretty funny. I admitted it. That was like, that was a quality move. But it's the escalation of, I think, the thrill that boys get with fireworks and then, or firecrackers and bottle rockets and then M80s and things like that. You know, it's explosions. And then when you see TNT, when I was out at the basic school as an instructor, we'd go to Murphy's demo, when they'd have demo day, and, we'd do creative stuff out there. And when people would call and complain, the engineer was a funny guy. He'd just say, "Hey, low ceiling, due to the weather, low ceiling." No, we're not violating any. We're not violating any of the load limits. It's just low ceiling and the humidity.
Which amplifies the sound, the shockwave to the ground.
Thank you. So, yeah, so it's atmospheric.
When the air is humid and thick, yeah, and the low ceiling, when you set up bigger charges, the blast wave goes up and then comes back down to the ground a lot faster. So it feels like more explosive, but it's really not. That's just the blast over pressure.
And that we'd be out there, that phone would ring like clockwork. Be huge. We'd be trying to like flip some car up into the air, right? And something responsible and creative and fun. And then you know, and he'd get it all rigged, and he'd let us help out a little bit, and then we'd go, you know, hide behind the wall, and had a little viewing port, and we'd all have our faces smashed up against this nasty viewing block, and it's all like smeared and stained with snot and whatever else. Anyway, we'd all be looking through it. This thing would go boom. Oh, and we'd be like, ah, we'd go running out there, and then bigger than snot, man. 5 minutes later, the phone starts ringing. We'd start laughing. He's like, "Yay, low ceiling. All right, thanks. Not a problem." But demo is fun. Demo is fun.
Demo's always fun.
What your favorite is C4 or TNT? Which one did you enjoy playing with more?
Probably, I don't know, man. It's hard to say because TNT was pushing, so that's what we cratered with, or you make big holes with. But C4 was fun to cut. I mean, so it just, you know, you want to do a cutting charge. But it was, I don't know, it was kind of back and forth, you know. Blowing trees with TNT were cool. I mean, it just blew the living hell out of them. And then, but C4 would cut them. You know, literally, would just, you could wrap that cord around the base of a tree and go, let it go. And it was just like a clean saw right through it. Just cut that.
Do you remember the first time you saw machine guns in trees? Not like up in trees, but shooting through trees and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where was that?
The Philippines.
What happened?
What do you mean what happened? They were shooting at monkeys and stuff. What do you think happened to the monkeys?
No, I'm talking about the trees, man. What happened to the trees?
Oh, they just get chewed apart.
Yeah, I thought, I remember asking, well, what about the ricochets? And the machine gunner looked at me and, yeah.
And the machine, gave me that look of like, what?
You're stupid. He said, sir.
What a rookie. Yeah.
He said, sir. There won't be any ricochets. These trees are coming down.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And they mowed down.
We should shoot concrete, like cinder block walls in Iraq and just shoot right through those things.
Right.
Those are cool.
Machine guns are pretty cool. So I know you were working on your engine, but I want to hear your thoughts. So, Lance Corporal Ned Seif, He's a machine gunner. He's a big dude too. And they're in a fight with the NVA. It might be Operation Hastings if I recall this right. He's got two guns. One gun's down because it's got the barrel damaged in an explosion. One gun, but that one was functioning. And then he's got two guns shooting single shot. So as this thing's going sideways, he's telling the gunners that have those guns, bring them to me. Because he's gonna try to cannibalize them, right, and make one good gun. So as he's doing this on a poncho, and the company is on the verge of being overrun, one platoon orders fixed bayonets, right? And Mike, how often in with all the years you've been around the Marine Corps, with all the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam Marines, how many times have you heard the term fixed bayonets used as a command that was given?
Only in drill.
Yeah, you don't hear it. It's like it's a civil.
Only as a close order drill. Yeah, move.
Yeah, it's like fixed bayonets. Like, what'd he say? It sounded like fixed bayonets. So yeah, one platoon fixes bayonets, and they're hand to hand fighting with the NVA. In the midst of this, he's got three machine guns apart. And then he finally gets one functioning, and he's one of those big dudes too, Mike. He's like probably spent a lot of his time in 50 cals, but he's one of those big dudes, and he stands up with his machine gun, and he cuts it loose, and wow, unbelievable. Let me, I'll read you the citation. The President of the United States of America takes pleasure in presenting the Navy Cross to Lance Corporal Ned E. Sneath, United States Marine Corps, for extraordinary heroism while serving as a machine gun team leader with Company K, 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, 3rd Marine Division, Republic of Vietnam, on 16 July 1966 in support of Operation Hastings. Company K was positioned in the middle of an enemy-infested jungle to establish a blocking position at a major enemy trail network. Yeah, they were the blocking force. They weren't even like, he said, we were the anvil. We weren't even the hammer. Shortly after landing, right, the company encountered a reinforced enemy platoon in a well-organized defensive position. In a portion of the perimeter adjacent to Lance Corporal Seath, a machine gunner was wounded and his weapon disabled by enemy fire. Recognizing the importance of stopping the enemy, Lance Corporal Seath moved quickly through the withering automatic weapons fire to extract the inoperative machine gun, working in pitch darkness with only the occasional flickering illumination from aircraft drop flares above, and suffering a leg and hand wound from mortar fire. Lance Corporal Seath expertly crafted an operational M60 machine gun from the pieces of two disabled weapons. Immediately and with devastating effect, he directed deadly accurate fire at the onrushing enemy. Heedless of his painful wounds, as his field of fire in the prone position became partially obscured by enemy casualties, Lance Corporal C stood up to fully expose himself to the enemy as he continued the withering fire, ultimately repelling the enemy's assault. By his bold leadership, undaunted courage, and complete dedication to duty, Lance Corporal Seath reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. Estimates was that they drug over 100 bodies from in front of where he was.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I understand why he got the Navy Cross, too, and not the Medal of Honor. Are you kidding me? Like, what, had we reached our quota that day in February? Like, what do you have to do?
Yeah.
What do you have to do?
No, Mike, we don't talk about it.
That's right. We don't talk about it. Okay, Mike, do you think you would be disciplined enough as a machine gun team leader in the dark to be cannibalizing two, putting together one, guys, when you hear the fixed bayonets announcement? Or do you think you would grab a rifle and do something else?
I don't know. I mean... Do I know what I know now, or are you saying just
at the time? You're a Lance Corporal.
I don't know. That's tough to say.
Yeah. I agree. You know what? You'd like to say that you have the presence of mind to do what you're supposed to do, right? To lead your team. You understand the importance. You know you can get, you know, he said in the interview that, you know, one of the weapons was fired in single shot. The other one was fully functional. So he knew that if he, you know, when he got the buffer spring out, he knew he'd have one gun, and then he knew that he'd, you know, it would be on. And so,
right.
But tell you what, that's still a little bit of presence of mind when the whole thing's going to hell in a handbag around you. Wow. So.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man.
As a Lance Corporal at night.
Lance Criminal.
Lance Criminal at night. All right, we got to take a quick break. We come back, we're going to get an engine update. And, hey, big day for me. My second lieutenant son today gets promoted to the rank of first lieutenant.
Well, that's kind of automatic, though.
No, but it doesn't matter. When you get the tyranny of the yellow bar off your collar.
Yeah, that's a good day.
That's a good day. You know, General Mil- do you know General Milstead? Do you know Boomer Milstead?
Yes.
He said that he thinks that Brigadier Generals, their star ought to be gold, too.
A Brigadier?
Yes. He said, why not?
Bloody man.
Second Lieutenants, what is the first part they get? Gold? Majors? Right? The first
gold?
Gold? Why can't Brigadier Generals have a gold star? I said, good point. I never thought of that. He said, yeah, think about it, Mac. Why is it good for everybody else? But, oh, when you become a general.
Well, then you know what? Then you need to create a new rank in between Lieutenant Colonel and Colonel, which would be a steel silver eagle with his arms folded or his wings expanded. It'd be a gold eagle with his wings to his side. He's just a fledgling colonel.
That's field grade. So he's still silver. He's still good. You're still talking about that genre of rank.
Major's field grade.
I know. So he's gold. Colonel's field grade. And then we go general officer, right? Three genre of officer rank. Company, field, and general.
And flag.
What's flag?
Flag officers.
General officer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called flag officers. Oh. Those that rate flags.
All right, Mr. Flag. We're going to, when we come back, we'll get a little bit of an engine update, more of Armoring Radio coming up on a, I'll tell you what, it's been a fun day. That story, pretty crazy story. More of Armoring Radio coming up next.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD.
Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On a Monday. Mike McNamara with you. And we're standing by for a update on the a small engine update. Small engines are fun, but they can be maddening. There's not actually that many different pieces. So there's normally a filter. The fuel's got to be right. And if you left it in all winter, sometimes it gets a little bit crazy on you. But normally if you do that and you prime it right, normally those things crank right up. So give us an update, Mike.
Normally. Normally is the key word.
What so?
No. I completely took apart the carburetor, cleaned it. There was no problem. I didn't see any problem. I just took the plug out, checked the gap. Clean the cylinder head. And so now we're going to try and pull it over and see. If not, then, then we're off to a serviceman.
Well, you know what? I have to say, I'm impressed. That's very mature of you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll troubleshoot it myself and see. Oh.
What happened?
Did you hear it?
I heard something.
Yeah, it turned over. That's it, man. Then it does this. Yeah. All right, we're going to a service guy.
Whoa, that's a big man. That's a big man that that can admit that kind of stuff.
No, this is someone that's freaking lazy and doesn't want to spend all day listening.
Well, I know, but you can decide that you're going to fight it all day, and a lot of us do that. It becomes. I did that over the weekend. I was repairing. Catherine's got a little a series of small cracks in her radiator, right in the front, right up at top.
Yeah.
And so I did a little research and. Okay, how do you fix this? So, have you ever worked on a radiator?
Yes.
Okay, and so most of the time it's hard to get at the cracks that you're trying to get at. That's the biggest issue, is like trying to get to them. So I look, and what they tell me is, go get some radiator crack or leak repair. At your auto parts store, and also get some epoxy, that can stand the temperature and mix that stuff up. So I did it, and it's about a 15-hour process so that the epoxy, sets fully. Yesterday went and fired it up, and I'm sitting there and everything's working awesome. So I videotape it. Get ready to shoot Catherine the video, when all of a sudden it looked like a leak from the Titanic comes right out of the front of the radiator.
Right.
I was pissed.
Let it cure long enough?
Yep. Yep.
You still had problems with it?
I let it cure for almost 24 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the solution is that in the future?
What?
Get a new radiator.
Well, I didn't want to, you know, I mean, I agree with you.
They're not hard to put in.
I know. And if you get them from the junk place, right? Get them from...
Yeah, go find someone that's got, they got T-bone, their front end is still in good condition, and then buy it from a junkyard, salvage yard, for a fraction of the cost.
There you go.
I mean, the downside is you got to take it out. That's not a downside. Take a young child with you and teach them how to do it. Spend the day with them. Have fun.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It could be a good thing. So, email from Montana. Did you buy a rebuild kit and replace everything you're supposed to? Mike?
Okay. What I did, Mr. Montana, was all I did initially was, I third part the gasket or the carburetor, make sure there was no clog, nothing in there, because I stored it over the winter, no gas, completely empty, clean the carb, and then made sure, again, there was nothing else blocking it. Everything was operational. And then the fuel line was, I mean, there's everything.
Okay, hold on. You didn't answer the question. Did you buy
I'm not gonna rebuild it.
A rebuild kit?
No,
okay.
I don't. All right.
No,
I don't want to do that.
All right. That's all. That's fine. All right. The prosecution rests.
I'll have someone else rebuild it.
The prosecution rests. Now, most of the time, those guys will have it for like 30 minutes. You know, and if he's a good one, he smokes because he's got the cigarette hanging out of his mouth and he's working out of his garage. He's got a small engine repair guy. And you walk in, you're like, let me take a look at it. Briggs and Stratton. Yeah, let's put it over here, Mike. So he puts it on, and you guys have a nice conversation. Probably got a nice chair in his garage. Do you want me to leave it and come back? No. This should take me about, I've been sitting all winter and, sprays a little, gets a can of something out, sprays it a little here, sprays a little there. Might check this. Yeah, let me just get you a new filter. Yeah. And then he fires it up and looks at you like you're a dope.
Yeah.
But they never say that because they're nice guys and they like the company and they're going to make a few bucks. So it's all good. So small engine repairs. I love small engine repairs. It's really fun.
Oh, I do too. The best thing that could happen right now today is this thing to be shot. And it's new, but I don't care. Shot. I can go get a new one, and then I can play with this engine and take it completely apart, and then build something out of it.
Ooh.
Like, a go-kart.
I had that experience relative to my DirecTV receiver. I cannibalized a hard drive that was broken because there was something wrong with the electrical connection to the hard drive, so it would flicker and then it would go out. And so, but I was hesitant to rip it out of the container, right? So, but then when my DirecTV receiver goes down, I'm reading and they're saying, yeah, your hard drive's bad. I'm like, oh, I need another hard drive. I wonder what kind of hard drive is in that thing that doesn't work. I rip that open, pull it apart. I look, the same exact hard drive, except it's twice as big.
Boom.
So what do? I hook it up from Montana. Go kart. Fuck yes. So you can see how mature these people are, okay? You want them to behave responsibly with TNT and C4, right? And you get the go-kart response. You know
That was the old me.
This is the new me. Anyway, long story short, man, everything worked when I put it all back together. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and I even had the tools, a telescoping, like, thin, screwdriver to work on computers. But I didn't even know it telescoped until I stuck it in there and I turned it, but I couldn't reach the screw, right? I had to take off a screw that was down a shaft, that bolted the fan on to the hard drive. But I couldn't reach it, so what do? You jam it down there even farther. And when I turned it, what happened was it grabbed the neck, and then when I twisted the screwdriver, it came apart. And then when the neck unscrewed, then the shaft elongated, and I went, whoa. I even had a tool. I didn't even know it. I elongated the shaft. Boom! I take the screw out. The fan falls apart. I put it on the new one. Put everything back together. That's right, kids. Who's the man? Who's the man? They're like, Dad, this never happens. Dad, this never happens. What are you talking about? Dad, most of the time it doesn't work like this. Like, really? Just go to your room right now. Yeah. Like, I need that.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Where are you going to take it? Do you know a small engine repair dude? Buck knows everybody. Oh, you know one? Who is he?
I know.
What's his name?
I think it's Andrew, but I bought my lawnmower over there.
Andrew, the small engine guy? Does he work out of his garage or does he have a legit business?
He has a legit business.
A legit business. All right. Yeah. Well, look, you'll give us an update tomorrow?
Yeah. And like I said, worst situation is I get to make a cool car out of this later. So, but I mean, I'm like, you know, it's starting to be spring. I want to spray the damn driveway. I want to spray something. And it started to piss me off. Because, you know, I'm not mowing anymore. People are actually doing that for me now.
My God. I see.
We got landscapers.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's how Michael Jackson lost his mind.
Let me tell you something.
Okay, let me tell you. Do you want to be Michael Jackson?
Let me explain. Okay? Losing your mind, that is not how you lose your mind. You lose your mind is, and again, love her dearly, is my beautiful wife telling me all the time, the grass ain't green enough, the grass ain't green enough, the grass ain't green enough. So you know what? Just hire somebody to make it green. I don't care if you paint it. But you know what? Stop with the, I'm not a landscaper. I know how to blow the grass up. I know how to burn grass. I know
so you
how to dig a fire pit.
You resigned your
a mortar pit.
You resigned your grass commission?
Yeah.
Well,
so I gave that duty over to somebody else. Now someone else is responsible.
Just so you know, if you stop driving your truck and get a chauffeur, then you become Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to get a chauffeur.
I'm just telling you. If
my wife would.
I hear about you getting a... And you wouldn't call him a chauffeur. What would you call him?
I'd call him.
A driver. No, he's not a chauffeur. He's just a driver. Yeah. Well, we don't go for that.
I wouldn't do that.
All right.
It's not me.
All right. It starts with not mowing your own grass, man. Come on. That's a guy.
It does?
Yeah, that's a guy thing.
I hear fire truck.
All right, look. You'll update us tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll let you know how everything's going. But right now, I'm strapping it in to the bed of the truck, and we're taking a bye-bye.
Nice.
Oh, remind me tomorrow. We'll talk about the weekend. I'll tell you what happened this weekend.
What'd you do on the weekend?
All right, here's the teaser, and we'll.
Oh, the teaser! I love the tease.
We had an auction at the church.
Ooh.
That was incredible. So I'll leave it at that. And the whole cause was to send all the kids to a summer camp. Their whole thing is no one pays to go to camp. And no one has ever paid to go to camp. So.
That's cool.
But I'll tell you some stories. It was really cool.
From Montana. So you don't mow your grass and you become a child molester?
What? There's no children that live in my neighborhood.
I didn't say, I said Michael Jackson in terms of being a dysfunctional. It's how you detach from society. You stop doing the things that make you normal. Mowing your lawn makes you normal. Driving a car, having road rage makes you normal. Those are the things that you have to keep in your life.
Driving.
Yes?
Mowing my grass never made me normal.
Yes, it does. You don't know it, but it does.
No, as it makes you, as Gene Wilder said, Abby normal.
No. I've thought about this a lot. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. All right.
What was his name? Abby. What was his last name? Normal. Remember that from the Black and White Frankenstein with Gene Wilder and all the and Madeline.
Madeline
Kahn. Oh my God, man!
There was some funny stuff in there. All
right. Where did you get this break? His name was Abby. Abby who? Abby Normal. All right, man.
All right. Have a nice one.
So I'll talk to you tomorrow about the engine and the auction.
I love that. I love that.
And you know what?
The
and
tease.
I'm going to leave a teaser, too, here. One of the most incredible things of unselfishness I saw from Buck's wife.
Oh, really?
It was, and I'll tell you a story about it tomorrow, but it's...
So three things.
Pretty dang crazy, man. Pretty dang crazy.
So it's the fundraiser, Buck's wife, and what was the other one?
And the engine.
The engine. Oh, the engine update. All right. I just wrote him down. All right, man.
Great American I live by and have friends. So,
Mr. Happy, Mike Musselman, good luck.
All right, man. Talk to her.
There you have it. That'll do it on a Friday. My thanks to Justin Constantine for coming on today. And my thanks to Matt Morgan, another installment of that's going to play immediately after this. So, so don't go anywhere. If you missed it this morning, it's going to play in the next 30 seconds. So, you're going to hear, if you missed it, you're going to hear Ned Seath. I want to keep saying Sneath. You're going to hear Ned Seath, his story about, from joining the Marine Corps to Operation Hastings in Vietnam. And then next week we'll hear the second half of the interview. So don't touch that dial. Coming up next. Crossroads. Matt Morgan produces it, and very, very cool stuff. Have a great afternoon on a Monday. All Marine Radio, out.